Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the ENCE first half 2019 results presentation. I now hand over to Mr. Ignacio Colmenares, CEO, and Alfredo Avello, CFO. Gentlemen, please go ahead.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining ENCE's 2019 first half results conference call. I'm here with our CFO, Alfredo Avello, and our Head of IR, Alberto Valdés. After the presentation, we will answer any questions you may have. Let's start with the main highlights of this presentation. Pulp prices are now weaker than we expected some months ago. High pulp producers' inventories at the ports, as a consequence of the unexpected inventory reduction in the paper industry, have continued pressuring pulp prices down during the second quarter. We believe prices should stabilize soon and then rebound for several reasons. Firstly, prices in China are already below the cost level of less efficient producers. Secondly, Suzano has announced production cuts of over 1 million tons during the second half of the year, which should contribute to reduce pulp producers' inventories at the ports. Additionally, the rebuilding of pulp inventories on the paper side could bring back to the market an estimated demand of more than 1 million tons of market pulp. In the medium term, the lack of large capacity increases until the second half of 2021 supports our expectation of a tight supply and demand balance. The financial results of our two businesses during the first half were mixed. On the one hand, pulp business EBITDA decreased by 42% compared to the same period last year, driven by negative FX hedging settlements versus positive ones during first half of 2018, higher discounts due to pulp sales outside Europe at spot prices, and lower volumes sold due to the inventory increase prior to October expansion shutdown at Navia. On the other hand, renewable energy business EBITDA grew by 30%, thanks to the solar thermal plant acquired in Puertollano last year. In the pulp business, we completed our annual maintenance shutdown in Navia during the second quarter and prepared the biomill for the 80,000-ton capacity expansion in October. In the energy business, we are on track to start operations in our two new biomass power plants in December, which will generate an additional EBITDA of close to 30 million per year, increasing up to 95 million-100 million in 2020. ENCE invested 157 million during the first half as part of our strategic plan. 70 million in pulp biomills capacity expansion, 87 million in the two new biomass power plants. Finally, we are now fully focused on a cost-cutting program launched in July in order to secure the achievement of the strategic plan annual cash cost targets. In slide five, you can see the consensus pulp price evolution. These numbers have decreased since our last conference call. Lower pulp demand during the last quarter of 2018 and the first quarter of 2019 due to the unexpected transfer of 2 million tons of pulp inventories from paper mills to pulp producers. This has continued to push pulp prices down during the second quarter. Once prices stabilize, the rebuilding of pulp inventories in the paper side will quickly increase the demand in more than 1 million tons. On the right-hand side of the slide, you can see the estimated pulp producers' cash cost, CIF China. Current prices are already below the cost of less efficient producers. These are the reasons why I believe there will be lower pulp supply and higher demand during the coming months. In slide 6, we summarize our views on pulp supply and demand. We have updated our estimates due to the lower pulp demand during the first half of 2019, as well as Suzano's announced production cuts during the second half. We have also included the increase of pulp producer inventories since the end of last year and their expected reduction during the coming months. I see an improving scenario towards the last quarter, which should continue during the coming years, as there is only one new pulp mill confirmed for the second half of 2021 and another one for 2022. Let's now move to slide 7, which shows our financial results. Revenues for the pulp business decreased by 3.5%, with lower volume sold after a 27,000-ton inventory increase prior to the October expansion shutdown, and higher discounts due to spot sales outside Europe. On the other hand, revenues for the renewable energy business grew by 18% due to the contribution of the solar thermal plant acquired in December. The group's EBITDA decreased by 31%, mainly due to the poor performance of the pulp business. The decrease in the pulp business EBITDA was driven by FX hedging settlements, which had a negative impact of 15 million in the first half 2019 versus 5 million positive impact during the same period last year. It was also affected by lower volumes and prices and cash costs, which increased 5.9%. Meanwhile, the energy business EBITDA grew by 30%. As a result, our group net income decreased by 50% compared to the same period last year. A first interim dividend of 5.1 cents per share will be paid in September, in line with our 50% payout ratio policy. Let's continue with slide number 8 to explain the evolution of the cash cost. Our cash cost increased by 22 euros per ton versus first half 2018 as a consequence of 11 euros per ton wood cost increase, 8 euros per ton overhead cost increase, 4 euros per ton higher conversion cost. As mentioned, we have launched a cost optimization program this quarter in order to secure the achievement of the strategic plan annual cash cost targets. I am personally leading it, with BCG supporting us. The program will take 18 months. Slide number 9 describes the growth of our energy business. EBITDA grew by 30% due to the incremental contribution of our Portoiano solar thermal plant. Our 2019 EBITDA should be close to our 65 million target, and EBITDA will grow again in 2020 by approximately 30 million, up to 95 to 100 million as a result of the two new biomass power plants, which will start operating next December. Let's now turn to slide number 10. During the first half of 2019, free cash flow before growth capex and dividend payments amounted to 63 million, compared to 87 million in the same period last year. Lower EBITDA has been partially offset by lower financial expenses and better working capital performance. Our growth capex was 157 million as a result of ongoing capacity expansions, both in the pulp and renewable energy businesses. After these investments, our net debt reached 465 million, up from 305 at year end. We have included 53 million in the debt figure resulting from the application of IFRS 16 on leases as from January 2019. As a result, our leverage ratio is 1.8 times our EBITDA over the last 12 months, 1.2 times in the pulp business, 3.9 times in the renewable energy business, assuming the pro forma full year EBITDA from the solar thermal power plant acquired last December. In slide 11, let me review our strategic plan CAPEX, which will be lower in 2019 than anticipated, as Navia capacity expansion will take place in October, pushing back some of the payments as a consequence. We have already invested 157 million during the first half of 2019, and we expect total investments of 265 million in the full year. We are adding 100,000 tons of pulp capacity and 96 megawatts of additional generation capacity in our energy business. In slide 12, I would like to give you an update on Navia's swing line project. It will have an installed capacity of 340,000 tons of BHKP, or alternatively, 200,000 tons of dissolving pulp, or a combination of both. During the fourth quarter this year, all the permits and EPC processes should be completed. During the first quarter next year, the board will decide whether to go ahead or to delay the project 1 year, depending on pulp market conditions and our forecasted balance sheet, in order to comply with our self-imposed leverage limits set in our strategic plan. Let's turn now to slide number 13, where we summarize the legal situation of the Pontevedra biomill. As you may know, in January 2016, the National Directorate of Costs granted an extension of ENCE's concession in Pontevedra until 2073. Three court cases against the extension were initiated before the National Court. On March 8, 2019, the National Directorate of Costs requested that the claims be upheld, despite having previously argued throughout all of the proceedings that the extension was totally legal. Despite this request from the National Directorate of Costs, the National Court has allowed ENCE to defend the case, and we expect a first resolution before year end. However, we estimate that the court proceedings could last for up to 4 years, including any appeals before the higher courts. Also, the National Directorate of Costs has begun to process draft legislation amending the General Cost Regulation, holding the interpretation that the maximum concession terms of 75 years must encompass both the initial term of the concession and any extension thereof. If such interpretation were applied to ENCE, the concession could run until 2033. Given this uncertainty, as we announced in our last quarter results, the Board of Directors has decided to dedicate remaining pulp investments of our strategic plan 2019-2023 to the Navia biomill, freezing any new investments in Pontevedra. Finally, I would like to give you an update on our sustainability activities. We continue to improve our certified wood entries and create value for local suppliers. We keep reducing odor and noise in our biomills, as well as the use of water that has experienced a 12% reduction since year end. Our Pontevedra biofactory obtained the certification Zero Residues from AENOR. We lowered the frequency and severity of accidents, and we are pursuing a zero accidents goal. We are promoting equality and diversity, increasing the number of new hires of women by 58% versus last year. I will now invite Alfredo to review the figures in more detail.
Thank you, Ignacio. Let me start by explaining the operating performance of our pulp business, which you will find in slide 16. Firstly, it is important to mention the average net pulp price, which has decreased in year figures by 4.5% versus the first half of 2018, mainly driven by higher sales outside Europe at spot prices, pushing our implied discount up to 31%. Secondly, pulp volume sold was 5% lower due to increasing inventory levels, which raised up to almost 81,000 tons ahead of Navia's capacity expansion next October. Average cash cost for a period increased by 6% up to 396 euros per ton, as our CEO previously explained. Finally, the company had negative FX settlements for an amount of 15 million euros compared to the positive settlements of 5 million during first half 2018. All in all, EBITDA for a period attained 67 million euros. Turning to the next slide, we can find the pulp business P&L starting with said EBITDA of 67. The DD&A figure is in line with our expectations and following the provisions of 2.1 million euros related to ENCE's environmental pact in Pontevedra, signed back in June 2016, we achieved an EBIT of 35 million euros for the period. This provision has had no cash outflow effect during the first semester. Below the EBIT line, financial expenses accounted for 4 million euros, targeting the reduction expected after last year's refinancing process, involving the early redemption of our 250 million euros high yield bond, with an annual coupon of 5 3/8, and issuance of the new 160 million euros convert bond at 125. Moving right on the chart, other financial results amount to a positive figure of 0.6 million euros, including the positive effect on receivables. Finally, taxes for the period sum close to 8 million euros, driving to a net income of 24 million for our pulp business in the first semester. Following with its cash flow generation in slide 18, normalized free cash flow after working capital changes, maintenance capex, financial payments, and taxes achieved 43 million euros, with lower EBITDA being partially offset by lower financial payments when comparing to 2018. Growth and sustainability capex amount to 70 million euros related to the Pontevedra 20,000 tons and Navia 80,000 tons capacity expansion projects. Moreover, the investments for the business added up to 4.5 million euros, which include the closing of the SPA related to the sale of 1,700 hectares of eucalyptus plantations in Portugal, announced at the end of last year. All these sum up a free cash flow figure of minus 18 for the period. Moving on to slide 19, let me update you on the evolution of our hedging program. The only aim of our hedging operations is to mitigate currency volatility. For this reason, we hedge at least 50% of our expected revenues in dollars for a minimum period that encompasses the next 12 months to 18 months on a rolling-on basis. These hedging structures are reviewed on a weekly basis. Furthermore, they are thoroughly monitored and timely adjusted. Currently, we have secured an average floor of 119 with an average cap of 126 for 91% of our expected pulp revenues for the second half of this year. This program has had a negative impact of 14.7 million euros in the first semester in our P&L. If the US dollar-euro exchange rate stays at an average of 113 for the second half of 2019, the total remaining impact for the year should be of approximately 10 million euros. Turning to slide 20, let's have a look at our pulp business balance sheet. Net debt amounts to 233 million euros. This figure represents a leverage ratio of 1.2 times LTM EBITDA, which is well below our self-imposed limit of 2.5 times. The increase in net debt is mainly explained by the announced CapEx linked to our strategic plan. It also includes a dividend payment of 13 million euros that took place in April and a 2.4 million shares buyback program in May, which account for 10 million euros. Additionally, the application of IFRS 16 on leases since January led to the recognition of a financial liability of 45 million euros in this business. Cash in balance at the end of the period amounts to 112 million euros, and the revolving credit facility of 70 million euros remains fully available. Let's now change to the energy business in slide number 21. The energy volume sold was 8% higher than the one back in 2018. This is mainly due to the contribution of our new solar thermal plant in Puertollano, acquired in December last year, also increasing our revenues per megawatt hour by 9% for the period. As a result, total revenues grew by 18% and our EBITDA increased by 30% up to 26 million euros. Continuing with the energy business, let's now analyze its P&L in slide 22. Depreciation has been 61% higher, attaining 14 million euros, mainly due to the previously explained CSP plant acquisition. Financial expenses accounted up to 9 million euros, given decrease in the average gross debt balance related to the funding needs for the construction of our two new biomass plants in Huelva and Puertollano, as well as the thermosolar plant acquisition. After minorities and taxes, our energy business reported a net attributable profit of 1.2 million euros. We expect this figure to significantly increase during the second half, since most of the plant maintenance shutdowns, but two of them, have already occurred in the first semester. Let's continue to the next slide and have a look at the cash flow generation. After taking into consideration working capital changes, maintenance capex, interest, and taxes, normalized free cash flow amounted to 20 million euros compared to 12 in the same period last year. Higher financial payments have been more than offset by the better working capital performance. Other non-cash related expenses account for another 1 million euros and are mainly related to the regulatory collar that we register on a monthly basis. Expansion and sustainability capex in our energy business is linked to the construction of our two new plants in Huelva and Puertollano, which will start its operations before year-end, contributing with approximately 30 million euros to our EBITDA in 2020. After all these investments, free cash flow was minus 65 million euros. Moving on to slide 24, let me conclude the revision of our financial statements with the energy business. The net debt position for the energy business increased to 231 million euros at the end of June, driving our financial leverage to a multiple of 3.9 times EBITDA, excluding the pro forma LTM EBITDA of our two new biomass power plants. Taking this pro forma LTM contribution into account, the financial leverage will be reduced down to 2.6. The application of IFRS 16 in this business amounts to 8.4 million euros and is all related to land leases. Cash in balance ended at 93 million euros for the period, with a very comfortable debt structure that permits us to continue growing and achieving our strategic plan targets. Let me please now return the lead of this presentation back to our CEO for the closing remarks.
Thank you, Alfredo. To conclude this presentation, I want to point out that we are now fully focused on a new cost-cutting program to secure the achievement of our strategic plan annual cash cost targets. Pulp prices should stabilize soon and will rebound thereafter. In the medium and long term, I continue to see a tight supply and demand balance until at least 2022. Our renewable energy business will start its two new biomass power plants in December, propelling annualized EBITDA to 95 to 100 million. We continue analyzing M&A opportunities, but the high multiples paid into renewable energy make us to be prudent. On pulp business EBITDA, our pulp business EBITDA will depend on pulp prices performance during the second half of the year. We expect sales of 970,000 tons in 2019 with an average cash cost of 385 euros per ton. Full year hedging settlements would have a negative EBITDA impact of 25 million. Navia will execute in October its 80,000 ton plant capacity expansion, which will support cost reduction and increase EBITDA in 2020. Regarding the new 340,000 ton swing line in Navia, we are progressing with the engineering and permits. The board will decide on its construction schedule during first quarter 2020, considering pulp market conditions and our self-imposed leverage limit of 2.5 times net debt to EBITDA. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Now we are happy to answer any questions you may have.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please dial 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. And we have our first question from Alvaro Lence from Alantra Equities. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I logged in a little bit late to the call, so please forgive me if this has been already answered during the presentation, but I just wanted to know, I understand that the lower production volume for your 29 guidance has a negative impact in cash costs due to lower dilution, but I was wondering whether this 385 guidance for cash costs includes any impact from any positive impact from lower wood prices, given the sharp decline in pulp prices, and secondly, why the guidance for the average FX rate for second half has increased from 1.18 to 1.19, since I would have understood that new FX hedges would have been made at a lower bottom in terms of the cross rate between dollar and euro for the color. So if you could elaborate on that, please. Thanks.
Yes. Regarding your question, well, we are forecasting a full-year cash cost of 385 euros per ton. That means a forecast for the second half of the year of 378. We are forecasting some cost reduction in the second half. We are expecting 4 euros per ton due to a more efficient and stable operation of the Navia biomill after its annual maintenance shutdown, together with lower chemical costs, and 2 euros per ton due to a greater contribution of the energy generation at our biomills. We are expecting a decrease of 1 euro per ton in the wood due to the decrease of the pulp price, and we are applying that between August and September. Overhead costs should decrease by 10 euros per ton during the second half of the year, 75 due to the fixed cost dilution over higher sales, and 25% due to the initial savings for our cost optimization program. We expect a further 1 euro per ton more reduction in cost on the wood at the end of the first half, on the fourth quarter.
Regarding the FX hedging program that you were asking about, you have to bear in mind, number one, that we're talking about average floors and caps.
but that this floors and cap percentage covered vary depending upon the PIX price. If the net price was 875 during the first quarter and during the second half was 836, the consequence is that percentage of US dollars covered is higher and therefore the impact also increases. Thank you.
Yes, Alvaro, and I forgot to ask, to answer what you asked at the beginning. Yeah, the impact of this delay in the Navia. The main impact of the delay is lower production during 2019 and therefore lower pulp sales than originally expected. We estimate around 50,000 tons of production lost due to this delay, and that is in our forecast.
Okay, and if I may, a follow-up, if you could provide any guidance for going forward for 2020 and 21 after you have implemented the increase in capacity at Navia, your guidance in terms of volumes would remain unchanged with those that you provided at Q1, or will the delay in the expansion of the plant will also have an impact in 2020? Thanks.
No, no, the volumes for 20 and 2021 remains unchanged.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So we have another question from Nuno Stasio from Haitong Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. A couple of questions, if I may. The first one is in terms of the way that you of your hedges, if after the weak performance that they are having this year, are you in some way rethinking them? Because, for example, if this scenario of the weaker dollar, the stronger dollar, sorry, and weak pulp prices remains, you will continue to lose money here. Is there any rethinking here that could make sense, or you are just fine with this? The second point would be in terms of the cash costs. Also, taking the question of my colleague before, what has changed since November? Because there's an increase now of 10 euros in cash costs. A part of that, I can understand, it's coming from lower dilution of fixed costs because you are selling 5% less than what you have planned back in November. But wood costs are lower, so can you explain us a little bit what happened? And also related to that, in terms of cost cutting, what are the specific areas where you think you could have room to improve? Final question on the situation of the new investments. If considering that prices in China are well below Europe, so that we will have this pressure for the next coming months, if the scenario is below $800 per ton in the first quarter of 2020, your plans will be to delay the investments and wait until better moments, delay them permanently. What can you share some insight of what could happen? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Nuno. Yeah, regarding our hedging policy, well, it's very similar to what we did, I think, 5 years ago. We are on a moment of huge investments, with huge commitments of cash out. And although we have the risk of not benefiting from a strong dollar, we prefer to have the certainty of having the money to pay our investments. We prefer to have 15 million of less income because we make wrong hedging than having a problem because the dollar goes to 1.30 and then we will have less money. Regarding cash cost, your cash cost question, during the first half, conversion costs were mainly affected by less stable operations at our Navia biomill, also affected by the temporary reduction in its evacuation capacity from the third discharge pipeline, which was fully repaired during the maintenance shutdown in the second quarter, and it's going pretty well now. Conversion cost should decrease by 6 euros per ton during the second half of the year. For, as I mentioned before, because the more stable operation at Navia, and two, as I mentioned before, due to a greater contribution of the energy cogeneration at our biomills. Overhead. Overhead cost increase is mainly explained by the incremental resources needed to achieve 2019-2023 strategic plan and the lower dilution over less tons sold in the period. Overhead cost should decrease by 10 euros per ton, as I said before, during the second half of the year. 75% due to fixed cost dilution over higher sales and 25% due to the initial savings from our cost optimization program. Wood cost increase in the first half is mainly due to higher transportation costs. At the beginning of the year, as you remember, we were forced by the extraordinary rains to transport wood from the south of Spain, what we are not doing anymore, and we suffer a strike on transports, and we were obliged to increase the price of the transport by 1 euro per ton, which has an effect of 3 euros per ton in cash cost. Then going back to your last question. Our commitment is financial discipline, and we want to grow and to diversify in this strategic plan 2019-2023. But we don't care if we do the investment for the 340,000 tons swing line 1 year or before or 1 year after. What is important is to keep this leverage on the pulp business below 2.5 times. Let's say that now we are in January 2020 and we have the same prices than today, with 90% of probability, I can say that we will postpone 1 year the project. And we will continue during 2020 to work very hardly in reducing cash costs and making cash in order to reinforce the balance and being able to start the investment in 2022 and being sure that we are not going to be above 2.5 times EBITDA in terms of leverage. Thank you.
Thank you. Very clear.
So we have another question from João Pinto from GB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. A couple, if I may. Firstly, on discounts, the average selling discount in 2Q was slightly higher versus the previous quarter. My question is, if you're selling lower level of volumes, what are the drivers for discounts keeping at such high levels? And my second question, also on discounts, your new guidance for sales volumes implies an acceleration during the second half. Will this imply a more aggressive commercial effort and as a consequence an increase of the average selling discount in the second half? Thank you.
Yeah, João. I have to give you a lot of information in order to understand why we have those higher discounts. Normally, and it's public, we have the lower discounts of the market. Our competitors from the Iberian Peninsula have normally 1 to 2 points more of discount. The competitors from the West Coast of America have 2 points more, and the competitors from the East Coast of America even 2 points more. What happened during the first half of the year? The market was weak. Paper mills were reducing their stocks, and they bought to their cheapest suppliers, and we suffered. And then we were forced to export where we are never exporting, to Middle East and the south of the Mediterranean, where the market is more similar in terms of prices to China. And that's why the average discount is higher. Then we've been selling during the first half of the year less volumes in Europe, because being the most expensive, our customers reduced us some volumes. and we sold those volumes in cheapest countries, in cheapest markets. Regarding the second half of the year, well, we are seeing, even prices continue to drop in Europe, a different approach from our customers, and we are able to sell more volume in Europe. And what we cannot do is not be there. Then we are going to be in this European market as we've been always. Thank you.
So we have another. Yeah, we have another question from Luis de Toledo from BBVA. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. Two remaining on my side, both related with CapEx. The first one with the CapEx guidance you provided on for this year. I would like to know if it fully covers all the investments in the projects that will start up this year, the two expansion, I mean the remaining pulp expansions, and fully covering the biomass projects. The second question, maybe regarding the future CapEx, obviously will depend on the decision to go ahead or not with the string line this year. But if you could provide us some level of maintenance CapEx, excluding these investments. And I would also like to know if there's been any new development with regards to the potential diversification into fluff segment. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Luis. Well, yeah, the figure we mentioned covers all the CapEx of this year. We are confident in that. Regarding the future CapEx for the year 2020, let's say we don't decide to go, or let's say we decide to postpone for 1 year the 340,000 tons project. Well, we can easily say that we have something between 5 and 10 million euros per pulp mill of redundant capex, and we can have 15 million on the energy business. But next year, in 2020, we have payments already committed for a level of around 120 million coming from the investments done in this year, 2019. Regarding fluff, everything goes well. We've been doing all the trials with our pulp. We have good results. We received the comparison of diapirs produced with our pulp and first-class diapirs of other European producers very recently. And the three main KPIs are very good in our pulp. Then in September, we will, with 90% of probabilities, commit this project because it's a lower project than the big one of 340,000 tons. It's a project of roughly between 30 and 40 million euros, and we are just now finishing the engineering, and we will know the cost in September, and in September we will take the decision.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Luis.
So we have another question from Jaime Escribano from Banco Santander. Please go ahead.
Hi, Jaime.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi. Yes, now yes.
Ah, sorry for that. I was in mute. So, my first question is, could you provide us with a normalized cash cost 2020 after the ramp-ups of Navia and Pontevedra? The second question would be regarding the energy division, which like for like, if we strip out the solar plant, is down 6% in volume in Q2. I assume you are doing some maintenance, but I would like to understand if there is anything else on that front. And finally...
Sorry, Jaime, I didn't understood very well what you asked now.
Yes, the first question is regarding the cash cost in 2020.
No, understood.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the second one is the volume of energy sold in the energy division. If you strip out the new acquisition, if we do a like for like, is falling in volume of electricity sold of
6%. Understood.
Okay. So just try to understand if you've done more maintenance than expected, or if what's going on there. And the third question is regarding the cost of wood. Is there any possibility that you can reduce the cost of wood, bearing in mind the pulp price? Is there anything you can do on that front? Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jaime. Regarding cash costs for 2020, we keep in our guidance and our commitment of the level of the strategic plan, which is 372. Regarding the lower volume of energy sold in our energy division, yes, we had a very long shutdown at our old biomass power plant in Huelva, Huelva 41, who took more than 2 months because we have almost rebuilt 80% of the boiler in order to be able to use any kind of fuel and don't have the problems we had last year. This old boiler was built in order to burn wood and chips, and as you know, we are using cheaper fuels, quite different from they come from the agriculture byproducts. And we have done an incredible modification of the boiler, and it took us more than 2 months. And on the same time, by the same reason, we have modified the roof of the boiler of Huelva 50, and it took also us close to 1 month, and that's the reason why during this quarter we had lower sales of energy. I can tell you that since they started back, they are performing very, very well, producing each one at a level of 1 to 2 megawatt more per day. Regarding wood, yes, as I mentioned before, answering to the questions of one of your colleagues, we are applying this 1 euro of less price due to the low price of the pulp to the wood suppliers since August the 1st. It will take us 2 months to do that, then we will do that in August and September. August is not an important month in Spain. The harvesters are also in holiday, then the effect on the cash cost will take a couple of months by the stocks. And 100% of this 1 euro will be done in September. And if prices continue to go down, we will continue reducing the wood cost by the formula agreed with all the suppliers.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jaime.
So we have no further question, gentlemen, so I give you back the floor. Thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your time, and we'll be in contact in the third week of October again. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, gentlemen.